Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 20 this morning, the book of Matthew chapter number 20. And I tell you what, I'm excited, amen? I'm excited today that I get the privilege to preach the Word of God. And I love the fact that God gives me messages and stirs within my soul of what He wants to lay upon your heart for today. Today's message that we're going to be dealing with, I just titled this The Journey, and I hope I can get this across as we go through this. And Lord willing, He will bless you for this. Let's begin reading in chapter number 20, verse number 17 through verse number 19. Very simple verses here this morning, but there is so much here that God had allowed me to see this week. Verse number 17, it says, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Let's pray. Lord, I am so grateful today that you died upon a cross for this filthy sinner that I am. Today, Lord, I'm able to claim the song that Chris and Jayla just sang. It's Under the Blood. And I thank you for that. Lord, I know that there are some people in here this morning. I don't know who they are. It's not important for me to know. What is important is they're here and you know. And they may have never come to the saving knowledge of you. God, I pray this morning that this message that you put upon my heart would grip that heart today. That they can call upon you as Lord and Savior. Walk out of here a new man or a new woman today, and we can rejoice with them. We ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. The journey. The journey. In a few weeks, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I'm thankful for that. In a few weeks, Jeff and I will also be able to be in a place called Jerusalem, and we'll be able to see the exact things that, not that took place, but we're able to see where they took place at, and I'm looking forward to those things. But before we do that, we need to acknowledge the journey that took place with Jesus and his disciples. The day that Jesus came into these men's lives would forever change them. And that should be the case when Jesus comes into the life of an individual. Their desire would no longer be that of men fishing for the fish in the sea. Their occupation, their way of life would be changed. And so they would have a new desire, and that desire would be fishing for men. Which, by the way, I hope that you caught this in the last 3 or 4 weeks as we are announcing for you folks to invite your friends and invite your neighbors to church so that they can come and hear the gospel being preached so that they too can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So their desire went from fishing in the sea for the fish to fishing for men so that their souls would be saved. The journey would be that of great testing. We know that in life, as we go through our life, as the older we get, there's great testings in our life. Our faith will begin to be challenged more and more every single day. The way that they looked at each other would be different than how they looked at each other before. Why? Because of a change that took place in their life, because of a journey that they went on with Christ. They would go from not knowing any type of miracle ever being performed to actually witnessing miracles being performed. A few would also would perform miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen for that. Little did they know that Jesus had been preparing them for this journey in their life. It's also important to note that they all had a choice to either go on this journey or not to go on this journey. They had a choice to either say, you know what, Jesus, thank you very much for the offer that you gave me at this point in time in my life, but I'm going to continue the journey of casting my net into the sea. And if that would have been the case, they probably would have lived an empty life at that point in time. What an opportunity that they had right before them. I'm going to change the direction here a little bit for this reason. As I reflect on this story, it has also caused me to think of many journeys that I have been on. And no doubt, as I begin to rehearse my journey, many of you folks in here will begin to recount the journeys that you've been on with folks in your life. The lessons that were taught to me during these journeys have been life-changing for me. The thing that always sticks out to me is this: the journey always comes to an end. I remember on many different occasions as a young person being excited and being thrilled for camp. As a young person, I couldn't wait to get to camp. But as I got to camp, I also had it in the back of my mind that the fun times that I was going to experience, the friendships that I was going to develop that week would come to an end. And usually those bus drives homes were the longest ever. You would be sad because you're no longer communicating with your friends that you met from Texas and Oklahoma. Godly states, by the way. You come back and you're missing those friends that you had the privilege to go on a journey with that week. But the journey always comes to an end. It's been many years ago now that I can remember a particular journey that Dad and us boys went on. So just bear with me a few moments as I begin to rehearse this story. This one, however, was quite different because at this point in time in our lives, we were grown men. I remember one particular time before we even went on this slash camping fishing trip. Dad took us on 1 year ago as we were little tykes. And I'll never forget the time that we came to have dinner. We had SpaghettiOs with fish. To this day, I have a distaste for SpaghettiOs and fish as a combo. It wasn't a good combo. But I'll never forget that, but it was quite fun. Growing up, Dad on many occasions would take us on some slash camping fishing trips. And when I was younger, it was probably more work for him than we'd realized as boys for this reason. Just imagine taking four boys on a fishing trip. Just think of all the problems that can arise. Hooks being caught in their bodies. I remember on many different occasions, or I shouldn't say many different occasions, but on a few occasions, Jake, my nephew that's in here this morning, who had something lodged into his body. I don't know if, Jordan, if you had that privilege or not, but a hook being cast into your body for some reason. You come across fishing lines getting tangled up. By the way, that's never a fun process, which is why you always take a good pair of scissors with you or a knife just to cut those things loose. And being a lot of work for him at that point in time in his life. But even though it was work, but I also can imagine me being a father myself, a joyous time. Sometimes that you'll never get back. So the memories would be priceless. And you folks know my memory is about the only thing in my body that works. One day it's going to go away from me. Hopefully I won't remember that. But anyway, as I continue to go on, I'm telling a story for a reason. A journey that a dad was able to have with four boys. The lessons that would be taught would be beneficial for us down the road. It was designed to make us better men when the time would allow in our lives. See, on those journeys, those trips, a father's able to do just a little bit more than what he's able to do inside the home. He's really able to focus on the children at that point in time, not being worried about any other distractions might come about, because this is a time for Dad and the boys to come together and begin to bond like they've never bonded before. So there is a purpose for these things. As a young person, I never saw this, but as I've gotten older, I've realized Dad had a purpose on taking us on these journeys. on taking us on these little overnighters at a campground here or there, or going to Pony Creek on many weeknights and be able to cast our net, our line out into the water and just have some one-on-one time with us. And those are so important in our lives. So getting back to this last fishing trip, this last journey that we're able to go on was specifically designed for my brother Wayne. At that point, Wayne had just suffered a stroke a few months before this. For about 3 months, he did not know what took place in his life. For this reason, he worked. He worked and he worked. And he finally was able to go to the hospital and figure out what was wrong with him, and they figured out that he had a stroke about 3 months before this. And as you begin to see that take place, you begin to see some loss in his muscle memory. Some things were backwards for him. I remember as I was trying to help him out one time at my house trying to get his strength back, he would begin crying. I said, "Wayne, are you okay?" He goes, "Chad, you got to understand, since my stroke, since I'm crying, I'm actually laughing." Okay, that makes sense. So I just continued to make Wayne cry. I figured he was happy at that point in time. But this purpose here was to let Wayne know everything was going to be okay. That's what it was designed around, was to let him know, hey, despite what you're going through, despite the difficulties that you're having at this point in time, everything's going to be okay. And so this trip had a lot of thought put into it, and we were able to go away for 3 or 4 days, if I remember correctly. And as we got there, here's what was going to take place. What was going to take place was for us to be an encouragement to Wayne at this point in time in his life. And that's what we are to do as we go through our journey in life, as we encounter people who are going through some difficult things. You and I are there for a reason, to be a help, to be an encouragement to them. We didn't want Wayne to think that he was alone on this journey. And with that being said, we would let him know that we would also have his back. I remember it was difficult for him on a few occasions. And Jeff, you might remember this. He had a difficulty of casting and even reeling in the line as he cast it out. And we're able to encourage him, hey, you got this, you're okay, you can do these things. We have your back, Wayne, we're good. And even during this process, there was some needed new bonding at this time in life. Not just with the brothers, but with dad as well, because you got to understand, we're grown men at this point in time. We all kind of gone on our own little journey in life, and now we're able to have a different bond with each other. And that was forever encouraging to me. So I'm thankful for this particular journey in my life. I'm grateful that it was able to take place. But I bring this up for a reason this morning. Don't miss the boat when Christ is calling you to go on a journey with him. And this morning, I'm specifically talking about salvation. You might not realize this morning, but God is seeking you so that you can turn to him for eternal life. He's calling on you. He's saying, hey, I want you to go on this journey with me. I want you to accept me as your Lord and Savior in your life. Don't miss the boat when I am calling upon you. So as this journey continues, this journey brought them to a place called Jerusalem. Its purpose was so that Jesus would die for us. He had to die for this reason, so that we could have eternal life with him. Jesus had paved a way for us. A way for us not to suffer for eternity, but a way for us to live for eternity. Before his death would take place, Jesus would encounter some very cruel people in his path. And that happens as we go on our journey in life. We're going to encounter some people in our path who are going to be very cruel to us. We're going to encounter some people on our path who are going to make fun of us. We're going to encounter some people on our journey that has no respect for us or any guard for us in any way, shape, or form. But that does not give us the meaning behind this. That does not give us the excuse not to go on a journey with Christ. He paved a way for us. They would make it very uncomfortable for him. And I'll be honest with you, folks, and if this was you and I this morning, more than likely, here's what we would do. We would tuck tail between the legs and move on rather quickly. But Jesus was on a journey. And on this journey, he gathered some men with him. And Jesus was going to go to a place called Calvary upon this journey, a place where he was going to give his life for you and for me. Jesus could not, however, tuck tail between his legs and begin to run because Jesus had an appointment with death. And he couldn't let anyone stop him along the way. I want you to notice the first thing that takes place while on this journey, and that is found in verse number 18. It says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes." We see that the betrayal didn't take place outside of the group. The betrayal had taken place within the group. There was a very reliable source that took it upon himself to betray the very Son of God. And in the next few weeks, it won't be tonight, but in the next few weeks, we will deal with a man that betrayed Jesus to where he went out and he hung himself. Some of us right now might be thinking, who in their right mind would betray Jesus? And my response to that is this. You ready for this? Why do we? Why do we betray Jesus? We might not have betrayed him the way Judas did, but we betray him in other ways. You see, we are all guilty in this. Sure, our betrayal didn't put Jesus upon a cross, but our betrayal hurts him in other ways. You and I betray Jesus. I can't tell you how you might betray him, but I can only answer for how I betray him in my life. And I hope this morning that you can examine yourself right now and say, God, how have I betrayed your Son? God, what can I do to make this right? And we'll deal with that a little while later on here. So as we continue to go on, we see this taking place, the betrayal. The second thing that takes place on this journey is Jesus being condemned to death. Why was he condemned for death? He didn't do anything. He didn't commit a crime. He had nothing against him at this time. And I'll be honest with you folks, I don't think Jesus was even happy about being condemned to death. Why do I say that? Go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. What did Jesus do? He prayed with great tears to his Father. I encourage you to go back and read that. And you tell me if Jesus was thrilled about being condemned to death. Imagine being sentenced to death for a crime you didn't commit or even have anything to do with. His guilt was that he was the Son of God. He was the only one qualified to take the place on the cross for your sin and for my sin. The fourth thing that took place that we don't even think about is this. He was delivered. He was delivered. You can almost say that Jesus was treated like a package. No respect at all. Drugged through the streets. Beaten. Beyond recognition. And before he gets up the cross, he's just delivered. Here you go. He was delivered like a package. The fifth thing that took place on this journey was this. And I want you to think about this. Jesus was mocked. Years ago, I remember going to a camp in Michigan. And I remember it was just a few friends of mine. For some reason or another, our parents agreed to us traveling across this country to go to camp kind of close to the Canadian border up there in Michigan. And we're kind of some ruthless kids at this point in time in our lives. We're having some fun along the way. And boy, we got to camp. My heart was not right with God at all. I really didn't want to be there. I'll be honest with you. I was just there to meet a girl that we met months ago at the college days in Michigan, and we knew that they were all going to be there, and so we're just going to have a fun time at this point in time, and we didn't really care about the preaching that was taking place, and I tell you what, when the preaching came on, you wouldn't believe this about me, but I'm in the chair in the auditorium, I'm just laughing, I'm making a spectacle of myself and my friends at this point in time, and what was going on was this: I was mocking God. I had a friend who drove us down here at this point in time. He's in the ministry to this day. Has some different beliefs than I do, and that's okay. That's fine. But he did something to me that I've never forgotten. He came up to me and he showed me the verse right in the middle of the service. Preaching was still going on. And he walks right up to me and he shows this verse to me. He says, "Chad, be not deceived. God is not mocked." Little did I know that this man was watching my behavior that week. And he had the courage to call me out on it. He said this, and I'll never forget this. He says, "Chad, I'm telling you as a friend, you're mocking God." That got a hold of my heart like you wouldn't believe. I didn't care what was going on around me. There's probably 500-600 people there at this camp at this point in time. The preacher was still preaching. Those very words stirred within my soul. And I went down to that altar and begged God for forgiveness because I was mocking God. Jesus, as he was delivered, it says in verse number 19, it says, "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock." Not only did this take place back then, but folks, it's still taking place today. It's not just done by the lost crowd. It's also done by us believers. We mock God on a daily basis. We betray him like you wouldn't believe. And yet we say we're good believers. When was the last time you checked yourself? Or better yet, when was the last time a friend came to you and said, "Hey, the life that you're living, you're betraying the very Son of God. You're mocking his name. You're dragging his name through the mud. You're no different than the accusers were at the day of Calvary." The only difference that sets us apart is this: we accepted his way of salvation. But folks, I want you to understand something this morning. On our journey, on our walk with God, we betray him. And we mock him like you wouldn't believe. The sixth thing that we see here on this journey is the fact that they crucified him. But this wasn't the last thing that took place. Please allow me to show you the very sad end to this journey. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 26. The betrayal, the mocking, the delivering, the death. But I got to read this verse to you. Chapter 26, verse number 56. Before I read this, let me remind you. In verse number 17 of chapter 20 that we just read, it says Jesus took his 12 disciples with him. He took them to a place called Jerusalem to be betrayed, to be delivered, to be mocked. Verse number 56. Let's back up to verse number 55. It says, In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Look what it says here. Then after everything that Jesus went through with his disciples, the being with him of the water being turned to wine, being with him when he's feeding the 5,000s, being with him in the crowd when the lady comes out and touches the very hem of the garment of Jesus and her blood issue has been healed, being with him watching him raise the dead, being with him when he was able to restore the sight to the blind, being with him and being able to be around the individual who can no longer hear for the very first time is able to hear the voice of Jesus. Being with them during all these things, during a storm when Jesus is out upon the water and Peter walks out on the boat and begins to walk in the water and he puts his very eyes on Jesus. And for some reason, he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he begins to sink, and the disciples are watching this, and Jesus reaches his hands right out to him, and he raises him back up, and they walk back to the boat. All these things that they witnessed, all these things that they were able to have a great part of in his life, has a very sad ending. Then, all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was only four at the cross of Jesus when he died. One was his mother. The other was John. The other was another lady. I can't think of her name right now. There's only four. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Why in the world? This journey that Jesus had the privilege of calling them to walk with him during his time in their life, why? Why would they forsake him? The same reason we forsake him. The same reason we forsake him. The same reason we don't give attendance to God every time these doors are open. The same reason we go home and we put our Bible on a shelf, never picking it up until next Sunday or maybe next Wednesday. The same reason we decide not to participate in prayer during our prayer meetings. Folks, you want me to be real with you this morning? Here it is. We forsake him. And shame on us. Shame on us. There's someone here this morning who's yet to call upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know what you're doing to him? You're forsaking him. You're walking away. I don't know how many chances an individual gets in their life to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But today might be the last time. And you might walk out of here and you might slip into eternity never knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you forsook him. All types of life forsake him. Folks, I stand before you guilty. I stand before you guilty of forsaking the Lord. I stand before you guilty of delivering the Lord into the hands of his enemies. I stand before you guilty this morning, mocking Jesus Christ. And I stand before you guilty, being part of his crucifixion, because my sins put him there. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know how God is working in your life this morning, but I do know within these last few moments, God began to work in my life. And if he's dealing with you this morning about salvation, I pray that you come forward and accept him. If you're dealing this morning with forsaking God, mocking him, delivering him into the hands of the enemy, I pray that you join me this morning in seeking forgiveness in this area. As the pianist plays, with your heads bowed and eyes closed.